T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome on in. Rights to Ricky Sanchez Radio right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Good timing.
It is good timing. Spike, we haven't had one of these in, what, 2 weeks,
three weeks? 3 weeks, something like that.
Yeah, yep. Things have changed a little bit. Welcome on in. 888-729-9494. That is how you get aboard. Joe Giglio, Spike Eskin, talking Sixers for the next hour. After what was a debacle last night, Sixers go down 3-2 in the series, Spike, and it feels like everyone today, all the emotions that we have about these players, about this team, it's all coming out right now.
Joe, I understand people can be emotional, but I'll tell you, starting with the Embiid sickness in Game 4 and going through last night with Charles Barkley and then going through today with some of our talented hosts here at WIP and our amazing callers and listeners, the attitude toward what Joel Embiid has been going through has been shameful. What Charles Barkley said about Joel Embiid has been shameful. What a lot of our callers and hosts have said about Joel Embiid has been shameful. About his toughness, about that he has a cold, that he's hungover, that he went to a Trevor Noah concert, all of these stupid things. Let me tell you something about Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid, since he got here in 2013, has recovered from one broken foot, another broken foot, a broken back, a torn meniscus, played with a broken face in the playoffs, all just to get back on the court and win for the Sixers. This year, knowing that he was, you know, frail through the last 5 years, he basically insisted on playing in every back-to-back, played more minutes than any center in the NBA for the first half of the season, only to be on the court to help his team win. And right now, he is clearly this guy who has battled through all of this just to get on the court to help the Sixers win, to lead the Sixers, to be the most popular player on the team, the best player on the team, is clearly going through a sickness that is really, really, really tough. Anyone who says he's faking it or he has a cold or he's moping so people will notice that he's sick are crazy. He's obviously going through something. I work in an office. We've all worked in offices where people who are sick don't even come to an office job, much less play in an NBA game against one of the best defensive centers in the NBA. He's clearly very, very sick. He is on the court to help the Sixers win. And anyone who says that he's not tough enough, that he should just man up as if being a man or being masculine has anything to do with getting through being sick is crazy. It's disrespectful. It makes us sound like we don't even understand the human condition. This guy has done every single thing he can do to get on the court. Is he more prone to injury? Absolutely. I wish that wasn't the case. Is he more prone to sickness? Maybe, absolutely. I wish that wasn't the case. But those are both true facts, and he is doing everything he can to help this team win. And you can be upset that he didn't perform well, but to say that it's a matter of toughness and he doesn't care about the team and he's just acting like he's sick is all, I think it's disgraceful. I think it's a disgraceful opinion.
Well, here's what I think about Joel Embiid, Spike. And yes, if the idea is that he's faking it, no, I don't agree with that. He's obviously hampered by this illness. But this is the reality of Joel Embiid now at 25 years old. He's the most unreliable superstar in the NBA. You just don't know game to game, minute to minute, what Joel Embiid's going to be out there. And it's hurting the Sixers. I agree with you that he's trying to tough it out. And he's trying to do the best for the team. He's hurting them. Well, he's hurting them on the court.
He's not hurting them on the court.
They're taking the ball out of his hands as if he's not a good player. He was awful.
Would you prefer it was Greg Monroe or Jonah Bolden or Boban Marjanovic? How about, instead of blaming Joel Embiid, we can't run around saying they have the most most talented starting five in the Eastern Conference. Oh my God, look at all these all-stars. And then one guy is at half speed and they fall apart. Where is it? I don't want to hear about Jimmy Butler being tough and being the only guy that show up. Then lead them to victory. I don't want to hear about Ben Simmons being a potential Hall of Famer. Then do something other than stand around and pretend to guard Kawhi Leonard. I don't want to hear anything about Tobias Harris getting a 5-year, $190 million contract if he can't do anything when the one player who is worth anything on the team can't show up. Don't blame the guy who's sick. Blame everyone else who doesn't do their job.
But that's the reality of the NBA. This is the best player dictates how far the team goes, not the other players around them. Like when the Miami Heat put their team together, Chris Bosh is an amazing player who's going to go to the Hall of Fame. Dwayne Wade's a Hall of Famer. When they lost, it was LeBron James's fault. He didn't perform. They lost. Joel Embiid, he's played 17 postseason games now. He's a markedly worse postseason player than a regular season player. It's not even close. This year he averaged, and I know he's sick and hurt, but whatever, 27 a game in the regular season. He averages 20 in the playoffs. That's a big difference.
The Toronto Raptors were 17-5 without Kawhi Leonard this year. The Toronto Raptors were 17-5 without Kawhi Leonard this year.
They're better than the Sixers.
And the Sixers look like a G League team without Joel Embiid. Like, yeah, don't blame Embiid. If you want to blame Elton Brand and Brian Colangelo and Brett Brown and team collaboration, the front office that put the team together that doesn't have a suitable backup center and that supposedly, you know, how many games did the Warriors win without Kevin Durant over the last 2 years? A lot. They won series without Steph Curry. They won series without Steph Curry. And this Sixers team can't even survive a game without Joel Embiid. I'm embarrassed.
No, but they can. But they won a game in the last round without Joel Embiid. They can't survive when their best player is taking up minutes and not performing. That's different. Well, it's one thing if he sits out, and they won a game without him in this postseason. He's on the court and playing like crap. That hurts.
There is a big difference between beating the Brooklyn Nets without Joel Embiid and beating the Toronto Raptors.
But they played without him before. It's one thing if we watched the game last night, he didn't play and they got blitzed by 40, then you could say, look how much they need him. Last night, when he had the ball on offense, it looked like he didn't belong. Like, it was a shell of the real Joel Embiid. They just took the ball out of his hand and ran down the court.
Absolutely. And it's a shame that that Joel Embiid at 25% is still much better than Craig Monroe. It's a shame that at 25% is way better than Jonah Bolden. They have five centers on the roster, and it's still better to have Joel Embiid starting than any one of that. That's not Joel Embiid's fault. Joel Embiid isn't hurting the team. The team is hurting the team. And I can't get around the fact that we puffed our chests out when they made the Tobias Harris trade. Look at the best starting five in the Eastern Conference. Tobias Harris looks like a fourth starter on an NBA team.
He's just a guy.
Jimmy Butler scores 30 points every time they lose. Congratulations. He's great every time they lose, so he can say that he showed up and nobody else did. Ben Simmons is invisible for an entire series, and our concern is that Joel Embiid went to a Trevor Noah comedy show. He's a grown-up. He's allowed to go to a comedy show.
Well, you know what, though? He has to perform on the court when he's out there.
But he's not physically capable of performing like Joel Embiid right now.
But this is part of who Joel Embiid is. You don't know game to game if he's physically able. That's frustrating.
Then maybe the morons in the front office and maybe the moron coach shouldn't have overplayed him for an entire year and put him in the position for the last 2 months to have to sit out so he looks like he's out of shape, so he looks like everything is wrong with him.
He's complicit in that, too. He's got to be smarter about his playing time during the season. Joel Embiid wants to play, and I understand the idea that he wants to play for his team. He also has to understand his body better. Like, this is the age of the superstar taking care of their body and being smart about it and playing forever. And I feel like Joel Embiid's career is going to be short. He's the opposite of everybody else in the NBA right now.
You sound like Brett Brown blaming him for it. It's just if Joel Embiid was playing for the Spurs, there is no way that front office and that coach wouldn't be able to convince him to take rest days. There's no way. There's absolutely no way. The entire leadership of the franchise, like risked everything in such a haphazard, irresponsible way that they're in this position right now.
888-729-9494, #9494 to hop on in. We'll go right to the phone lines here. Let's play a couple things for you. We had a caller last hour during...
Oh, this guy pissed me off.
I know. You came running down the hall all angry during the Mark Cerie show. TK was in for John today. And look, he questioned what a lot of people out there are questioning, Joel Embiid's toughness. Listen to this.
You know, you don't trade Embiid. He's a franchise player, and hopefully he matures and gets mentally and physically tougher over the next couple years.
Like, what does that mean? Like, how much mental toughness does it take to go through two broken feet, a broken back, a torn meniscus, his younger brother passes away while he's playing, to come through all of this and be one of the seven best players in the NBA? That is, if that isn't an exhibition of mental toughness and physical toughness, I don't know what is.
I do think he has mental toughness off the court. I do think he needs to get mentally tougher on the court. There's a reason why Al Horford and guy like Marcus Gasol give him so much trouble. He doesn't like that kind of physicality. When he can bully someone like Jared Allen, he's great. He gets pushed around. He's not as great. I mean, I'm still bothered by game 5 against the Celtics last year when Aaron Baines is guarding him down low in the last game and he's looking for the foul. Put the ball in the hoop, Joel.
Well, maybe,
stop worrying about the foul.
Maybe if that loser Markel Fultz hadn't have broken his face with his friggin' shoulder, he would have been playing.
Well, we can agree on that. All right, 888-729-9494. Chris in Plymouth Meeting's up first on Rights to Ricky Sanchez Radio. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Spike. Hey, Joe. How you doing?
What's up,
good,
man?
Hey, so Spike, I agree with you about halfway. Certainly, you can't expect Joel to play better than he can. If physically he's got limitations right now, fine. But what he hasn't been is a leader. I've seen people who've had much worse conditions than him, not trying to play in the NBA, but they put the right face forward so that the rest of the group will do their hardest. Joel goes out there, he's the emotional leader of that team, and when he's out there with his shoulders slumped and his face gloomy, the rest of the team doesn't show up. And that may be their fault, but it's his fault as a leader. And I just want to add one other point, and then I'll let you rant on me. The group in the front, the group that should really be eliminated first is the medical staff. We've had issues with this medical staff over and over again, and clearly they just didn't know how to get Joel healthy before and after game 4.
Well, they didn't. And Chris, we appreciate the call. In terms of what he said there, Spike, about him kind of sucking the air out of him, that is to an extent, we'll play it here in a second, what Charles Barkley was saying last night, that like basically that he's sucking the air out of what. Here's we have Barkley from last night on TNT criticizing Joel for all of this. Here's Barkley.
He walks around like he's on his deathbed. He drains the energy out of the team. They showed him walking into the game today. He's walking by himself like he's on his deathbed. As a star player, you can never show weakness. You got to keep the other guys involved in the game. That's what he does. He complains so much about being sick, he drains the energy out the room.
Charles Barkley has a lot of nerve. Charles Barkley showed up every year a big fatso for an NBA team. Talk about setting an example for the rest of the team and setting the mood for the rest of the team. Charles Barkley cared so little about winning that he decided to play himself into shape for the first half of every NBA season. Charles Barkley cared so little about winning that he didn't play defense for the majority of his career. Charles Barkley cared so little about winning that even though he was a 24% three-point shooter, he insisted on taking them over and over and over again.
Analytics.
Charles Barkley never won a thing. Charles Barkley got himself traded to a super team in Phoenix and still didn't win. Charles Barkley went to a super team in Houston and still didn't win. Forced to trade to Houston. Charles Barkley has a big mouth for a guy who accomplished. He was a really good player, great guy, but to talk about Joel Embiid the way he talked about Joel Embiid and at the same time, and by the way, he's the same guy that just throwing people through windows and getting DUIs. Like, you want to talk about making an example? Charles Barkley made the worst example for teammates, for fans, for everyone while he played. He even went so far as to do a commercial to get paid to say that he wasn't an example.
The messenger may be flawed. I agree with you there, but I don't think he's totally off base in that. It does suck the life out of the team. They don't know every game if their best player is going to be there. And it's not just, look, an injury is an injury. And if you can't play, you can't play. This whole playoff run, it feels like literally up to 5 minutes before the game, nobody knows. I think that does take a toll on the team. He needs to be there for his teammates or he needs to not be. But the idea that we don't know until game time, it's insane.
Well, then maybe the team shouldn't run him into the ground.
Well, I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
But I think moving forward, he has to also be part of this now. He has to take his career. Because you know what? I think you'll agree with me on this. 10 years from now, 15 years from now, no one's going to blame Brett Brown or the medical staff if this guy didn't win a title.
No, you're right.
It'll be his legacy, and his legacy as the Sixers star that just went to crap.
And then he'll go on TNT and say it about another player.
That is the way this works.
Act like it never
happened. It is just the cycle of titleless players. Let's talk to Victor and Only. What's up, Victor?
Man, I don't know. I don't even know what to say. Spike just killed Charles Barkley on the air. I don't even know what – I mean, I'm speechless. I mean, I hope Embiid could one day play and be a Hall of Famer in this league and show up. You know, and again, I and Spike, if you were his agent right now, he would love you because right now you're doing a great job defending him. But, you know, at the end of the day, man, the numbers don't lie. And you know what? And here's the other part. And again, I know who else is going to go out there, right? I get it. But at the same time, man, when you're a marquee player, when you are the man, now you really it really is about a mental game because now you got to learn how to respond from all of this. See, you might get the tag, not a tough player, but then what are you going to do to prove people wrong? If you're always injured, if you're always hurt, you're always sick, you'll never get a chance to prove them wrong. That will be your legacy. You'll come back and have a TV gig and talk about all of what happened to you. Oh, that's great. But listen, man. NBA, man, you won't be in this league for long if you don't show up and prove something. All the hurts, I get it. It's wonderful that, you know, you're showing Spike your humanity towards a player who really needs somebody to, but I mean, he makes millions of dollars. I don't feel that sorry for him. And the reality for me is, you got to show up, dude. You got to show up. You got to show some toughness. You got to go out there and do that. Now, again, I think he's caught some bad breaks, but listen, man, the bar has been set. You know, you've been a part of the process. Now, and part of the problem is you're falling off. But to Spike, to your point, though, the team, it's still a team sport. So other people got to pick up the slack. I will agree with that. But at the same time, when you're the guy, you're going to get called out. Point blank period.
That's always been the way it's been in the NBA. And Victor, will be.
Guys.
And we appreciate the phone call. And Spike, I understand your point about people get sick. People in offices get sick. But part of this is perception becomes reality, and Joel Embiid has to understand the perception he's put forth here. The idea that he's not tough is ridiculous, but the idea that he doesn't take care of himself, people see what he does, and they don't like it.
Well, what idea that he doesn't take care of himself?
When he doesn't play for a few weeks, does he not come back out of shape more than the average player?
Well, right, but if you have a knee injury, like how is he supposed to not come back out of shape?
Well, maybe when we see him, he can look, the fast food stuff is not why he has the flu right now or whatever he has, but it does bother me that I don't think this guy takes care of his body. Or maybe he doesn't know how to, but that stuff is in everyone's mind. Like, he walks out of the Nets game. He's clearly been battling weight issues because he misses time and he can't run or exercise. I get that. Don't have a Shake Shack bag in your hand. Like, that's perception becomes reality.
I think Victor said a couple of things that I agree with. I agree with if he is not going to be physically able to play all the time, that is going to make it harder for them and he will be criticized more. But what I don't like is this idea that you could just mentally tough your way through injury. That if you are not able to play through these sorts of injuries, that if you're not able to perform, if you're not able to just, you know, brush it off and play, then you are somehow not mentally tough. Like that's stupid. Like for him to play through a meniscus tear in his knee, Richie says this all the time. That's stupid. You know, that's why football players have 4-year careers and NBA players want to have 15 and 20 year careers. We don't want him to do that. We don't want Joel Embiid for just 1 year. So that is the issue that I have, is that it is some sort of questioning of his character and not just, I understand your point that it is harder for the team if they don't know whether he's able to perform. That's a real issue that they have to address. But putting it on him as a person or like his mentality, and that it's just about him being tough and being a leader, I don't agree with that, and I think that's unfair.
Well, but there is also, as you mentioned earlier, like we have to not put this toughness thing on. We have to be the tough guy. Well, there also has to be the machismo on his side. If he can't move and he can't get out of bed and he has the fever, he's not going to play well. That's just the reality. Like, he could think, I'm helping the team on the court. Last night, he hurt them. Like, I want him, and I know it's hard to say this to an athlete, to take yourself out of the moment. But, like, if I didn't have a voice, and I try to come in here and do the show, it'd be hard for anyone to want to listen to it.
What if you didn't have any takes?
That'd be hard, too.
It would be terrible.
Right. So yeah. You got to have takes, and you have to have a voice. Guess what Joel didn't have last night? Any takes or any voice in a basketball sense. I wish you didn't play. If you're that sick, don't play.
I don't agree. I think
but he had no takes.
I that's true, but the guy behind him was thirsty. The guy behind him had no
Greg
takes
Monroe
either.
Was thirsty, shooting a three from the corner.
Yeah. I think he played because he felt like even though he was not a good option, he was the best option. And I think it's hard to disagree with him at this point.
888-729-9494, #9494. Joel Embiid is being criticized left and right. Spike doesn't think it's fair. I do. Let's talk about it right here on Rights to Ricky Sanchez Radio on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Rights to Ricky Sanchez Radio on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio, Spike Eskin, talking about what else? The Sixers, Raptors, and Joel Embiid, the criticism of the Sixers' best player that is just, it's gotten to the point where I've never heard it like this before.
Do we have our sponsor or no? Is it not there?
I was told it's not there. Well, they have switched to Leading Off. They're part of Leading Off now.
Mealies?
Yes.
Sounds you love for less?
Yes. That's all right.
Wow. Well,
they're used to this. 620?
Okay. All
leading
right.
Off, yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. Fine. Fine.
They're still with us, just not with you anymore.
Okay. Understandable. You don't want the show that happens every 6 weeks or so on a Wednesday?
Okay. They have Charles Barkley posters in Mealy, so they heard you tonight. They were like, we're out.
They heard what I did on the radio.
Yes.
On the radio.
All right, let's talk to Eric in Miami, who's up next. What's up, Eric?
Good evening. First of all, I think a lot of this discontent that's been directed towards Joel and Ben Simmons and the entire team was really the fault of Sixers management themselves. They completely overpromised and underdelivered, and it was totally predictable. I don't think everyone would be quite so upset if the expectations hadn't been set so unreasonably high. But nonetheless, fans and the media should dial back the criticism of Joel and Ben. These guys are just young players at this point in their careers, learning on the job, you know, what it takes to win. And that's something, as I've mentioned before on the show, that all players need to do if they want to be truly great. It was no secret, but before game one of this season was played, we knew that Ben didn't have a jump shot and Joel was a fragile athlete with a long injury history. What fans and especially the media should be doing is directing hard questions at Sixers management, such as, and forgive me, Spike, if I'm a little redundant here on a couple of these, but why did they feel they had to go all in for a title this year when their two stars were clearly not championship ready? Why, knowing Joel's injury history, do they allow him to play all those regular season minutes and never acquired a playable backup center? Why they thought Jimmy Butler, particularly in light of Ben's shooting deficiencies and Jimmy's limited future window of competency, was a good fit for the team at this moment? And one of my favorites is, why Tobias Harris, a non-All-Star on an expiring contract, was the presumed missing piece that was worth an unprecedented, and you heard that word is correct, unprecedented NBA trade value of 3 first-round picks, 1 unprotected. That's never happened before. And why they thought they could challenge for an NBA title with the worst bench in the league. Unfortunately, I doubt anyone will ask these questions of management, and if they lose tomorrow night, Brett will probably be fired, and he'll take the blame for the team's failure to advance. And worse yet, if you could peek ahead to free agency, is management's self-inflicted dilemma is if they sign either or both of Butler or Harris to max contract that they want, they're going to be saddled with unmovable deals. And if they don't, they will look foolish for making those trades in the first place. Well, I got a news flash for you guys, collaborators or whoever it is who's making the decision there in the front office. You already look foolish for this and many other reasons.
Well said, Eric.
Yeah,
as
I don't
usual,
even know how to react to that. I agree with
you. We should just take that and play it for Sixers management. See, this is your fault. Eric, we always appreciate the call. The one thing...
You should release it as a single.
Yes.
Yeah,
it was
a song.
It felt like a song.
Yeah.
2.5, 3 minutes song. The one thing he said there that you're right. I think Eric's right that this is management's fault. But I think part of the root of frustration with Joel in particular and Ben, but Joel in the context of this conversation, is Sixers management basically told us they're ready.
Right.
And they're not. Like they miscalculated Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, whether they were banking on health, banking on improvement, or just delusional. They you don't make the deals they made unless you think Joel is ready to lead a championship team, and he's not.
Well, and that was an obvious miscalculation. Like, in what world would those two be ready in their second playoffs to lead a team to the finals? Like, in what world? And then if you want them to be complementary players and you're going to add a superstar or something like that to go to the finals with them as complementary players.
Well, Jimmy's not the right guy.
The players that they added, while both good, Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris, they are not, you know, superstar players on a championship team. They can be on a championship team, but they can't be the best player.
888-729-9494. Dan is in Delaware. Hey, Dan.
Hey, guys. I'm going to give you a hot take, but please don't hang up before I make my point. So I got two reasons why, but I think this is the time we start talking about trading Joel Embiid. And the reason why is if you want to play at an elite level in this league, look at LeBron James. The guy spends over $1 million a year taking care of his body with chefs and personal trainers and treatments and things like that. And a guy like Tom Brady played well into his 30s and now 40s because what does he do? He takes care of his body. He spends the money to take care of his body. Joel Embiid will not have a sustained career past age 30 in this league the way he treats his body. He's flabby. He's out of shape. He apparently eats junk food. And time again, it's either gastroenteritis or it's this injury or it's that injury. The guy doesn't take his career seriously enough for me to invest a career into him. So that's my first point about the trade. And another reason why is because I don't think him and Ben Simmons play well together. He actually, his game restricts what Ben Simmons does best, driving to the lane. He's clogging it up. If Ben Simmons has an open lane, I think he would be more effective.
Well, I think the second point is, it's one I've talked about before. They don't complement each other. It's hard. I mean, it's hard for Ben Simmons to be the best version of himself. Dan, we appreciate it when Joel's out there. But the first part is what we have to react to here. The idea of trading Joel because he's not following the Tom Brady diet and the LeBron James chef diet.
It's insane. You don't trade, this is a Bill Simmons thing, but you don't trade a dollar for four quarters, right? In the NBA, you always win by having the best player. And the reason that they picked him at three and the reason that they signed him to that contract is that having Joel Embiid and the chance that it works out and the chance that he matures and ends up, you know, taking better care of himself, you know, not you. If you talk to 100 NBA players that are 24, 25 years old, you're not going to find 100 NBA players who all, you know, have their own private chef and are, you know, gluten-free and vegan. Like, they eat a lot of junk food. They drink. They all those things, the things that young people do. So I can't imagine a trade for Joel Embiid that brings back something that makes me as confident that that person can be the best player on a championship team.
I agree with that. I don't want to trade Joel either. Here's the point of my frustration with Joel. And you're right. He's 24, 25, the Trevor Noah concert, Shake Shack. I mean, these things aren't, he's not the only guy doing this. He's not the only player in the NBA that goes out the night before a game. And the reports were that he was just there. He wasn't even doing anything that would hurt him playing the next day. But the bottom line is he has to understand his body better. Some guys, and this is like anyone else, some people could stay up all night, eat junk food, and feel fine the next day. If he can't do that, then he has to change. Like, that's part of his preparation. If it affects him, like, the flu or whatever he has now is one thing. The gastroenteritis is annoying. What are you doing that you feel that way? It's a cause and effect. What are you eating?
I don't know that that's true. Until I was 24, 25 years old, I was a fat guy that ate a lot of fast food. I never had gastroenteritis. I don't even know what it is. Maybe I went to the bathroom a little bit more, but I never got a stomach virus from eating cheeseburgers. I just don't think that's how it works. And as far as,
but if you're eating better, you'll probably feel better.
Probably, sure.
So that's all I'm asking him.
Yeah, sure, that'd be great. I don't know what to say. That would be great, and I hope he learns that as he grows, like as we all learn when we grow. But he still is the best chance at winning a championship.
I agree with that. Let's talk to Todd in South Philly. What's up, Todd?
Hey, guys. I just have a question for you guys. Who is the leader on this team? Because I don't think it's Joel Embiid. He's not somebody who will go, at least to the public, and maybe you don't need to do it in the public, but I don't see it behind the scenes either. Who's going to go out and call out a teammate if they don't try that night? Like, yes, Joel Embiid tries, no matter what, he always tries his hardest. Sometimes that's only 25%, like, because he's hurt or whatever. I'm not going to rag on Joel Embiid. He always plays great defense, no matter what. But the Eagles have Malcolm Jenkins to go out and call somebody out if they don't do their job. A respected veteran. That's the reason I don't want to get rid of Jimmy Butler. It's not because he comes out and he plays in the playoffs, because he does. But there's nobody else to come out and call out Ben Simmons for not trying. Like, he's not this series.
But Jimmy Butler made all of his teammates hate him in his last two stops.
He burned down the Timberwolves.
There's a difference between, you know, guys like Jimmy Butler convince everyone that their will to win and their desire to win is an excuse for abhorrent behavior to their teammates, and just insisting that because you don't do it like I do it, then you are not good enough and I don't want to play with you. Jimmy Butler is a wonderful act. It is a wonderful free agency resume for Jimmy Butler. He's playing great. He's being great, but he is not a leader. And I agree with you. Joel Embiid is not the leader either. The problem is there is no leader on the team, and there can be no leader on the team when you change all of the players in the middle of the season. Like, there's no way, unless you're walking into a locker room with Michael Jordan or Hakeem Olajuwon, that a guy that just got here in February is going to look and go, oh, Joel Embiid, this is his second year in the league. He's the leader. I'm going to follow him. Mike Scott's been in the league a decade. Tobias Harris has been in the league a decade. Jimmy Butler's been in the league a decade. James Ennis has been in the league for five, six years. They're not going to walk in here 6 weeks ago and go, this guy's the leader. Like, leadership and culture is developed when everyone is there and it is built together and the team sort of decides on who the leader is, and that guy naturally comes out. I think Joel has leadership, tendencies
qualities,
and qualities. I don't think he's there as an adult yet, but Kawhi Leonard's not a leader. You know, like, you look at that Toronto Raptors team, and he ain't a leader. I don't, you know, there's I don't even think LeBron's a leader, to be quite honest with you.
But if you're that great, that trumps things.
Right, yeah.
They both go out and lead by example every single game, though. LeBron, so here's the thing. Joel is a phenomenal player, but he's not doing what Kawhi's doing this series. Kawhi's been the only one to play every game this series except for last night. Kawhi's the only one doing anything. Joel's not doing that. This team is the most talented starting five in the East. That's not a question. The rest of them need to bear that burden, but Joel's not going out and doing it the way Kawhi and LeBron do. This team needs a leader. I don't care who it is. It doesn't have to be Butler, but go get this team some sort of structure, some kind of leader to go out and call Ben Simmons out, tell him, hey, you need to do something because you're literally the reason we're losing this series.
Well, yeah, but yes and no, but Todd, yes and no. I agree. Leadership helps, and we appreciate the call. We overcomplicate this stuff. The best player's team wins in the NBA playoffs. I've never heard so much about a starting five ever before until this year.
Right.
It's the best player's team. So in this series, the best player on the court has been Kawhi Leonard. Game 1 through 5, he's been the best player. That's why his team's ahead. If Joel Embiid was that, they'd be ahead. Like, Joel leadership and bringing in a veteran, this is all wonderful. If he plays better, they win.
Well, and also leadership is not calling out your teammates in public. Like, I don't know that.
That's what we do on the radio. That's what it is.
Ben Simmons, who doesn't even like answering one question from a reporter after a loss when he didn't score a lot of points. I can't imagine if Jimmy Butler came up, you know, in the press conference and goes, you know what? Ben Simmons is scared to shoot. I like, something tells me that ain't working, you know? Nobody likes being called out in public. I don't think that's the way to do it. The truth is that the real leader of the team is something you can see and feel, but probably not something that we hear with words.
Yeah, and the real leader of this group right now is probably Brett Brown, and he's trying to figure out all this on the fly, and his job probably is on the line.
Yeah.
It's not an easy... The whole thing is a tough situation for them, and unfortunately, Joel Embiid hasn't been able to carry them. When he's great, he carries them. We forget about all this stuff when Joel is great.
And he's going to be great on Thursday, and they're going to win.
You're still in?
I'm in. They're going to win this series, man. That Raptors team is not good.
But the Sixers aren't that good
now. Well, that's true.
That's a big problem.
But I am in Philadelphia. So if they're both not good, I'm going to go with the Philadelphia.
888-729-9494, #9494. That is how you get in. This is Rights to Ricky Sanchez Radio on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Rights to Ricky Sanchez Radio, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio, Spike Eskin talking, Sixers, Raptors, 3-2, the series now in favor of Toronto, game 6 tomorrow night. Spike is still all in, and they're going to win the game and maybe win this series.
I don't
feel as good.
I think so. Just win a home game. They've been great at home. They dismantled the Raptors once at home, And then you get up to Toronto, and it's, you know, it's a 50-50 shot. I just don't believe in the heart of Toronto. I don't think they really have a leader, that team. And I
don't either. What about the heart of the Sixers, though? I want to see tomorrow night if they come out and play with some heart. Like, if they get blown out tomorrow night, it's a really just disappointing end to this season. I expect them to lose a series now anyway. So, you know, the loss is what it is. But if they get blown out tomorrow, that would be just an ugly way to end this thing.
Kawhi Leonard against the Orlando Magic, first round, game three. Toronto wins 98-93. Kawhi Leonard suffering from the flu, actually just feeling under the weather, scores 16 points on 5-for-19 shooting. Nick Nurse calls his performance gutsy. Raptors win. Do you think anybody was talking about his mental toughness the next day?
No. Well, that's the first round, though, because earlier we talked about Joel sitting out, and we said the Nets series didn't matter. So that series doesn't matter.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. Let's talk to Al in North Philly. What's up, Al?
He caught me there.
Hey, how you guys doing, man? How you guys doing?
Good, Al. What's up?
So I just wanted to talk about Joel Embiid. To be honest, I don't care if they win the series or not. To me, honestly, next year is really more important because you got to think about the future. So at this point, because I don't know what Jimmy or Tobias, I don't know what them two are going to be doing. But if we still have Ben and we still have Joel Embiid, hopefully one of them two can come back. Joel can come back in a better condition. Ben could come back with a jump shot. But if next year is just as disappointing as this year might turn out to be, what are you going to do with? What are you going to do at that point? Then you got to move somebody. You got to move somebody. And I think you got to move Joel Embiid because – at this point, I'm so disappointed in just the fact that he's overweight because I remember when he came in the league, not two, 3 years ago, he was so skinny. He could run up the court back and forth. He was a dominant. He was physical, and he wasn't as big. But now I watched him, and just yesterday watching him sit on the bench, he just looked like a fast slob. I'm sorry, I have to say this, but he just looked like a fast slob, and that was just disappointing to me because I always defended him. I always loved him, and it just I look at him now, and I'm just so disappointed. I don't know, but
oh my god! Well, I think he looked fatigued because he was sick.
I didn't hear one fat slob thing when he scores 13 points and 14 rebounds in a win. Like
he's thin on those nights. He's fat when he plays bad. Don't you get that by now?
I where is this? Everybody's gone crazy. Everyone's demented. What is happening here? He's not a fat slob. And everyone, and hang on one second. Everyone with, he eats fast food every day. That's his whole diet. How do you know?
We watched a Shake Shack video.
You saw one TMZ video.
Oh, he also eats cheeseburgers before games. We've seen that before. It's his pregame meal. Eat a salad, Joel.
I don't care if he eats 20 minutes. I don't give a damn about that. Just take care of your body. And you know, like, the difference between when he first came and to now. Just put a side-by-side comparison.
Yeah, he's way bigger. Now, part of it is...
It's confusing because look at Ben. Even though we criticize him for saying, like, he just want to be a superstar or anything like that, you can say whatever you want about that kid. He doesn't have a jump shot. He's played 78 games the whole season last year and this season. He doesn't get injured. He takes care of his body. Look at Jimmy Butler. And it's just,
yeah, his game is the problem, Al. We appreciate it. Ben's game is the problem, not his body. Joel's body is the problem, not his game. Here's the one thing about Joel. I don't know how they're going to fix this spike, but I heard him a couple weeks ago when he was in between the knee issues. Someone asked him during one of those media scrums, how do you keep yourself in shape or try to when you can't play? And he basically said, basketball is how I keep in shape. Well, for a guy that has knee issues, like, he and the team have to come up with some sort of way to keep his weight down, him in shape when he misses time.
Well,
it's a problem.
I think what he said is that basketball is the only way to stay in game shape. And I would agree. Like, I don't think any amount of stationary bike or elliptical machine is helping him with that. So.
But he does need to figure out a way to keep himself in some sort of better cardio shape when he misses time. He does come back, and he's out of shape when he misses 3 weeks.
I have an idea.
Okay.
Ben Simmons' brother, do you think he's been coaching Ben Simmons' jump shot in the offseason?
Yep.
Do you think maybe he's a dietitian and physical therapist
I'm willing to try it.
So instead of Ben Simmons going to a shooting coach, maybe everyone on the Sixers just goes to Ben Simmons' brother in the offseason
for whatever
their
ailment is.
Yes.
Greg Monroe to try to become a good player.
Yes.
Joel to stay in shape.
Absolutely.
So you pick the Sixers problem, the player problem. You go to Ben Simmons' brother, and you don't get fixed?
Correct.
It sounds like a wonderful plan. Steve in Levittown. What's up, Steve?
Yes, first of all, Ben Simmons' brother is doing very poor job.
Yeah, that's the point. That was the point.
And we like, correct. And as far as I'm concerned, from what I've seen and watched this season and in the playoffs, and listening to different commentators who supposedly know the game, the NBA game very well, the Sixers should not be have the patience to wait around 2 and 3 years. An additional another 2 and 3 years on top of what it's already been for him to develop a shot. The guy is afraid to play. He doesn't want to go to the foul line. This is insane. And Embiid is not the problem. The sole liability on this team, which needs to be corrected, in my view, is one Ben Simmons. No question about it. And if I'm Elton Brand in the offseason, I'm going to try to find a lottery team that's a sucker and try to get their first round and trade him to trade Ben Simmons to that team. One of the nine, I think, what's it, nine teams in the lottery? One of those nine teams. Because they cannot afford to wait another 2-3 years. This is a joke. This is a joke. You cannot win a championship in Philadelphia with Ben Simmons playing on this team.
Well, you also can't win a championship anywhere, Steve, if your best player is unavailable half the time. It's a, Ben, no, I agree with you that Ben is a problem. But no. Joel?
MB can solve his problem.
Well, but Steve, you say it like you snap your fingers. It's not. This is his career. Like, we make it sound like he'll wake up tomorrow. If he wants to be healthy, he'll be healthy. I don't think it works like that.
No. Do you think the Sixers can win a championship with the current Ben Simmons that they have right now?
No. No, I don't. But I also don't think with the availability of Joel,
so
they can
the
win.
Answer? What is the answer for Ben Simmons? What is the brother's not the answer. What is the answer for Ben Simmons to be able to shoot half decently?
I don't have one. I mean, part of it is he's got to want to, and we appreciate the call, Steve. Part of it, too, is the team around him has to be more conducive to him playing. Like, in this series, I'm not really frustrated with Ben as much as others because he's just standing in the corner because that's his role.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't play this offense all year long. This was not something they did all year long. This Jimmy, and by the way, the Jimmy Butler centric offense, which has been successful at times for them, not only takes Ben Simmons out of the offense, it takes a lot of what Redick has done to be successful out of the offense. So now you have Jimmy Butler running a pick and roll with one of your shooters, not nearly as effective, another guy who's not a shooter at all, Embiid, who is setting the screen. So this whole thing, like, pick and roll really works when you have space, and there's not enough space for it to happen.
It's a Jimmy Butler show.
Yeah.
And it could end in six. Max.
Well, he's the only one that cares.
In Havertown. Well, he's trying. Matt, what's up, Max?
Oh, hey. Not much. I've got, like, a couple things to say real quick. The first thing's personal about Charles Barkley. Second one's a take about Embiid. And then the third thing is just an observation about the Phillies and the Sixers. I'll see if you can guess what that is by the time I get to it. Can you hear me?
We got you. Let's hear the take on Embiid. Okay. I want to hear the take first.
All right, take on Embiid. Well, the reason Embiid's playing badly now is because he's been run into the ground, right? I mean, like, people have been saying that. I believe it. I don't know if you guys have.
By the way, I think it's part of it, Max. He's also ill. For whatever reason, he's ill right now.
Well, not for whatever reason. It's because he played too many minutes when he should have been resting. That's how you get ill.
Well, I don't think he has an upper respiratory infection because he played too many minutes in November. Like that's why his knee hurts.
You tire yourself out, and your immune system goes to crap.
I agree with Max. That's how it happens.
Yeah, all those upper respiratory infections for LeBron and Kawhi, all those guys. Yeah.
Well, the point is he's sick, and I think it's because he's playing too much. And everyone's pointing fingers. Oh, is it Brett's fault? Is it Joel's fault? Is it upper management's fault? The point is it's just where they're in. They had to play him. They got to the playoffs because they ran him into the ground. And you could say, oh, B chose to play, or Brett didn't stop him from playing, or upper management didn't stop him from playing. But the point, they are in this position where they had to have played him to get this far.
That's not true. They won 16 in a row last year. He's barely there. Like, they can win games without him. We're pretending they can. Now, in the playoffs, they need him. But they don't need him in the regular. They don't need to play him as much as they did in the regular season to win.
Well, they shouldn't.
They shouldn't.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, they don't need to.
All right, well, that was my whole take. I believed in it, but it got shot down. And I'll move on.
That's okay. Well, I appreciate the take.
Yeah, just move the goalposts.
I lost that one. So I'm just taking a no.
Yeah.
So, first, you can't do Charles Barkley dirty like that. That just hurt. You know, I need my dog, Charles Barkley. So seeing that, I mean, I think he was being hard on Embiid because he saw himself in him. You know, he saw Embiid doing the things that he did.
See, that's the way to move the goalpost right there. He was being hard on him because he saw himself. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, like, you're hardest on the people where you see they have the same flaws as you. And I don't think he might not be right about that, but I think that's what he's seeing in Embiid.
I could see that. And Max, we appreciate the call. I could see that. Look, he went off on him last night. A lot of people have. I don't think this criticism is unfair. Spike does. I don't think we solved this problem in the last hour, but it was fun anyway.
Another hour of Right to Ricky Sanchez Radio where we don't solve anything.
It went by.
The rest is WIP. 23 hours a day, we're solving everything.
Every issue, at the end of the hour, we have it solved except this one.
This one and McNabb. Those are the ones we can't figure out.
You know what? We'll keep trying again. All right, okay. Spike. Appreciate you coming in. We'll come back more on Joel on the evening show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.